I'm doing Harvest Time Part 2. Harvest Time Part 2. We've been talking about seed time, waiting, harvest time, and this is the second part of harvest time. John chapter 4, verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for the harvest. Jesus is speaking to his disciples about harvest, and in this situation, he's talking about the harvest of souls. And Jesus says, well, you think it's about 4 months more for the harvest. And when he said 4 months more for the harvest, he meant the normal harvest season, the agricultural harvest season. But then he says, look, because the harvest has come. So Jesus is contrasting the normal season of harvest with this new season of harvest. So we learn from this passage that we must recognize our harvest season. We must recognize our harvest season. There is a time for sowing. There is a time for watering. There is a time for waiting. And then there is a time for harvest. And we must recognize when that season comes. And then we learn from this passage that we must not procrastinate in the season of harvest. It's not in the next 4 months. It's not in the next 4 years. When God opens a door of harvest, we must seize the moment. I don't know about you, but when I was young, I used to say, and I think most of you used to say, when I grow up, I will be so and so. When I grow up, I will be a farmer. Or when I grow up, I'll be a doctor. Or when I grow up, I will be a policeman. Now, it's good for you to say that when you are 8 years old. But when you are 30 years old and 40 years old, and you're still saying, when I grow up, I'll be a farmer. When I grow up, I'll be a doctor. Or when I grow up, I'll be a policeman. You definitely have missed your harvest. Because there is a time to expect something to happen, and there is a time for you to live in those things happening. So when it is harvest time, we don't procrastinate. We don't say things like, if God gives me opportunity, if God opens the door, he's opened the door, and you have to go in and harvest. As I said earlier on, last year, 2020, and part of this year, was supposed to be the toughest year, the most unproductive year for many people. Businesses shut down. A lot of people couldn't work. And in a sense, churches also shut down. But when we were shut down, that is when we did our greatest work. Because harvest time sometimes will appear at a time you don't expect. You have to lift up your eyes and see that the harvest is ready. Luke chapter 10, verses 2 and 3. Jesus speaking, he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs among wolves. Jesus used the analogy of harvesting to teach about soul winning in the kingdom of God. He used the natural process to teach a spiritual truth. But what Jesus taught about harvesting is not limited only to preaching to win souls. It also has application for how we reap the seeds we have sown into our barns. And in this passage, Jesus showed his disciples how to reap a harvest, and he taught something very interesting. He stated, the harvest is great. When there is a harvest time, God opens great opportunities for us. That phrase, the harvest is great, means the harvest is ready. It is available. It is open. It offers you opportunity. The harvest is great. The harvest is ready. The harvest is great also means the harvest is ripe. It is ripe. It's mature. It has come through all the cycle of maturation. It's in its fullness. And the harvest is great means the harvest is rich. It's abundant. Huge rewards. When God brings us to a harvest, he brings us to a harvest that is ready, that is ripe, that is rich. But as I said, it may not have come at the time you were hoping it would come. Because sometimes you pray and pray and pray and pray for something to happen, and then when it happens, you find you are not ready. Because that is exactly what Jesus is talking about. The harvest is great. And then he talks about a challenge. The laborers are few. Great opportunity, but challenge. God opens the door, but we don't have what it takes. The laborers are few. Isn't it interesting that in the midst of great, we are dealing with few? Great opportunity, few laborers. It's like being in a room full of gold, sitting on a high shelf that you cannot reach. You can see it, but you can't get to it. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. What does that mean? The laborers are few means you don't have the right people. A harvest will put pressure on you and your staff. More people are required at harvest than at sowing. Why is that so? Only one person can sow a field. But that one person cannot reap the harvest of the field. So if you have 10 acre or let's say 5 acre land and you are sowing corn on it, one person can sow all the field. He can go out there and plant because all he needs to do, make a hole and drop a couple of seeds in there and that's it. But when harvest comes, the 3 seeds of corn has now become 1,000 on each stalk. And so what is required to harvest is greater than what is required to sow. And that is why Jesus says, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. It means that many times in life, you may be the one who planted the seed. God used you alone. But when your harvest comes, you're not going to do it alone. The danger with a lot of people is they say, well, I was here, I planted the seed, I was here from the beginning, and when it's harvest time, they want to do it all by themselves. They don't want to bring in other hands. They don't want to bring in other people. Your harvest time will require that you reach out to other people to come and help you to harvest. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Don't be narrow-minded at harvest time. You need to be broad-minded. Secondly, the harvest is ready, laborers are few, means you don't have the right experience. A harvest will put pressure on what you know. When the harvest requires sophistication, so let's say when you start on your own, you know, you do very well. You sow seed, God brings increase, and then your harvest time brings you into a totally new world where things like the way you communicate becomes important. Even your dinner table manners is important. At the time when you were sowing, that was not important. But when greatness comes, you are exposed to a new world and you need better experience. So the harvest is great. The laborers are few. You need more people. You need to grow your experience. And thirdly, you need to grow your tools. You don't have the needed tools. A harvest will put pressure on your resources. The tools required to harvest corn is not the same as what is needed to harvest coconut. When the harvest requires different tools, you go for different tools. When the harvest requires bigger vessels, you must go for bigger vessels. One of the things we learned last year when there was a shutdown was, how do you do church when there is nobody present? All my life, I've preached before a congregation. That's what I've done. I've done that for about 40 years. All my life before a congregation. As a matter of fact, I would say that in the most part of my life, I've always preached before a large congregation. Worldwide, everywhere. Thousands of people gather to hear me. That's my experience. Those are the tools I have. And I'm used to preaching and watching people, because there is something about when you're preaching, every preacher, it's a communication between you and the people. You can tell when people understand you and when they don't understand you. And so you can simplify something you are saying so people get you better, because you can tell from people's eyes. Those are skills I have used for decades. And then all of a sudden, I have to preach to a larger audience, by the way. Larger than the ones I have physically. Larger, but I can't see their faces. And I have to determine whether they are listening or not, understanding or not, whether I'm making sense or not. And be able to reach out to them effectively. That is a harvest, but the laborers are few. The skill is not the same. What I used to do differently has changed. And a lot of pastors were very confused and very, very destabilized by that. I felt, whether you are ready or not, the harvest has come. And I had to learn to preach to the camera and do it in such a way that people can get what I'm saying when I haven't done that before. You can complain about the harvest. You can complain about the difficulty. But every harvest time has a time frame. And when the time passes, you can't harvest again. And many of us here, God has opened big doors for us, but we don't know how to work with people. Everybody you work with, you sack, you fire. Everybody you sack, you fire. Everybody you sack, you fire. God has given you a big harvest, but you can't work with people. You can't work with laborers. And everybody you work with, you mistreat. If you're going to enter your harvest, you have to learn to work with people, love people, treat them well, pay them well, make them a part of your team. You have to learn new tools, new technology. You have to acquire new experiences. Why? Because the harvest is great. God has opened big doors. You can't go in with a small mind. You can't. If the door is large, your brain, your thinking, your capacity must also be large. You cannot act in your harvest season as you were in your sowing season. But Jesus then introduces another problem in the harvest season. He says, I send you as lambs among wolves. You know, sometimes when Jesus speaks, you wonder, why did Jesus say that? Because the normal thing is, you don't send lambs among wolves. It's almost like a death sentence. Jesus says, it's your harvest time. The harvest is great. The laborers are few. But to complicate it further, you are lambs going to wolves. What does that mean? It means your harvest season will expose you to enemies. Your harvest season will expose you to hostility, to compromise, to competition, hostility, enemies. Because if you know anything about wolves and lambs, one eats the other. And Jesus says, you are the wolves, you are the lambs, and you're going to be in danger in your harvest time. Because when your harvest time comes, and you start harvesting big things, that's when big wolves also appear. When you're doing small things, the wolves have no interest in you. Try doing something big. Enemies you haven't seen for years will pop up. You're going to deal with enemies you never imagined. You're going to deal, depend on the level of your harvest, enemies at high places. Global level enemies, governmental level enemies. I'm not talking about that little witch. That's an easy one. I'm talking about conspiracies at high levels. When your harvest is so great that people feel threatened and are going to do everything to knock you off. That's what Jesus says. If you want a harvest, get ready for wolves. That's why a lot of people leave their harvest untouched. God opens the door for them and they say, wow, too many enemies. Too many enemies. As for me, I don't want enemies, so I don't want people to hate me. Then you'll be a permanent sower who never reaps. permanently sowing, but never reap. Because anytime it's a harvest time, wolves are going to show up. People are going to try to sabotage you. And let me talk to most of you who are business people and doing business at a high level. Sabotage is normal. Sabotage is normal. Don't come and say, people are sabotaging me. Well, go and read what your master said. I didn't write this book. This is gentle Jesus, meek and mild. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He says, in your harvest time, I'm going to release you as lambs. Not as wolves, as lambs to wolves. How can a lamb survive against a wolf? Very few. Wolves hunt in the night. Lambs eat in the light. In other words, the weapon of the wolf is darkness. The defense of the lamb is the light. So when you are a Christian and you are out there competing with wolves, shun the works of darkness and stay in the light. And when you stay in the light, you will be protected no matter how ferocious the wolf is. The light of God's word, the light of the power of God will deliver you. Wolves are territorial. They mark their territory. They eat in territories. They attack in territories. Lambs, they don't have territory. The territory of the lamb is the territory of the shepherd. Wherever the shepherd takes the lamb, that's where they are going to feed. So whilst they are, your enemy is territorial and trying to fight you over this and that and that, just watch your shepherd, because he's going to move you from territory to territory, from place to place in your harvest time. People may try to stop you, but the Lord is going to lead you from victory unto victory, from territory unto territory, and give you strength. That's why he says, I send you as lambs among wolves. It's not a disadvantage. It's a totally new way of operating. Because sometimes people may be fighting with you over one territory here. And all that you do is just watch your shepherd. He navigates you to another green pastures that the wolf has never seen before. And while they are fighting over that, and fighting over that, and destroying one another, you are here in your open fields, enjoying the abundance of the Lord. In your harvest time, you keep your eyes on your shepherd. He is leading you as a lamb, and you keep your eyes on him. For some of you, you are fighting a territorial battle. But if you will pause for a minute and pay attention, you will just see God is pointing you to another field. Another field. Sometimes, if you're not careful, you'll be stuck fighting battles with people who are going nowhere. But the shepherd will take you somewhere. In your harvest time, the harvest will be great. The laborers will be few. You need to bring in laborers. You need to work with people. You need to bring in people. You need to coordinate well. You need to expand your experience. You need to seize the moment And you need to trust the shepherd to lead you in the light into new territories. The wolves will be there, but they cannot stop you. They cannot stop you. Let me close with this. Your harvest has obligations. Your harvest has obligations. I'm going to talk about three of them. I'm going to assume one, and I won't talk about it, but I'm going to talk about three things that are important obligations during your harvest time. What I assume, which I won't talk about much, is that every harvest time will favor you. It will benefit you. When you harvest during your harvest time, it benefits you. So you've sown a seed, God blesses you. It's going to impact you. You're going to eat of your fruit, the fruit of your labor. That's normal. But three things I want to bring your attention to. In your harvest time, first, you have to learn to give to the Lord. Many times during harvest times, people are so overwhelmed by what they are grabbing that they forget God. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 9 and 10. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you come into the land which I give to you and reap its harvest, then you shall bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to the priest." God is saying, when I bring you to your harvest, remember to honor God with what he has blessed you with. Don't be so overwhelmed by what God is giving to you in a harvest season that all you do is to expend it on yourself. Second, in your harvest season, you give to the poor. You give to the poor. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 22. "And when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleaning from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God." What God told Israel to do is during harvest time, when they went to harvest their field, the corners of the field. So if, let's say, this room is your field, the corners of the field, you don't reap them. You reap part of the middle, and you leave the corners. Because that is where the poor would come and reap. Poor who have nothing will come and benefit and take something. That is what Ruth was doing in the farm of Boaz and ended up with other fringe benefits. But but there has to be gleanings. And the principle is simple, that whatever God blesses you with, the poor must benefit from it. The poor must benefit from it. People who don't have must benefit from it. So, as you honor God for what he has blessed you with, remember also the poor. People who don't have, people who are disadvantaged, and help them. And I would say, help the poor in such a way that you wouldn't need to help them again next year. In other words, help them in a way that gives them independence. Not dependence on you every day coming to you for money, but help them in such a way that they can now build their own lives, generate their own income, and don't need gleanings from you again the next time. Because if all that happens is every year the poor comes to you, you're not helping them. You're not helping them to learn how to sow and reap themselves. So they have to learn how to sow and reap. So give to the Lord, give to the poor, And number three, very important, you start sowing all over again. Whatever gave you the harvest, you have to go back and start the process. Reinvesting, starting the process all over again, because it's a cycle. As long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest shall not cease. So you don't reap and stop. You reap and sow for the next season, because the cycle must continue. Every harvest season gives us seed to start the cycle all over again. All right. Before I close today, I just want to encourage everybody who believes that they have entered the harvest season. And maybe you feel that there are too many wolves in this harvest season. And so you are afraid. Some of you have abandoned the harvest God gave you. Some of you, you see the harvest. You see the opportunity is great. But you don't even have the staff. You don't have the technology. You don't have the ability. You don't have what it takes to take hold of your harvest. I just want to stand in prayer with you, in agreement with you. If you are in that situation, you say, I've come to my harvest, but there are too many wolves. I've come to my harvest, but I don't even have the personnel. I don't even have the technology. I don't even have what it takes. The opportunity is there, but I don't have what it takes, the resources to take hold of this harvest. I believe the Lord of the harvest is also able to appoint laborers for you. And so I just want to stand in prayer with you and stand in agreement with you for everybody who has believes they've come to their harvest field and they feel that too many wolves or they don't have what it takes. Just stand with me in the auditorium. Stand with me. And if you're watching me, stand with me too. Wherever you are, just stand with me. I don't know what door God has opened for you, but I stand today by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, who said there will be wolves, and I pray with you. So just put your hand on your heart as we pray in agreement. Father, for every child of yours who has entered their harvest field, but who is faced with wolves, be their shepherd, be their protector, be their deliverer, be their helper. In the name of Jesus, I pray, Father, that your children will not be eaten by wolves. Though the enemy may be ferocious, you, the Lord, you are mighty in war. So, Father, arise on behalf of your children and push away every wolf from their harvest field. Push every wolf from their harvest field. And, Father, teach them to trust you and to stay in the light and walk in the light. And, Father, show them the vast opportunities that you are giving to them, not to be discouraged by the battles they are fighting. I pray for you in the name of Jesus, that the Lord Jesus, the Lord of hosts, will fight your battles for you and give you the victory and cause his honor to be established in your life. May the Lord give you wisdom in your harvest season to bring in the laborers that God is sending your way, to learn the new experiences, to bring in the people, the new technology. May the Lord introduce you to people, to connections, to people in all places that will link you to resources so that your harvest will be fully taken. May the Lord honor his name in your life. And in this your season of harvest, may you experience supernatural help beyond anything you have imagined. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If you believe that, say amen.